Well, Father, we ask that you would continue to guide us, to teach us. Well, Father, I pray that today you would use me. That today, Lord, that you would take my opinions and my feelings and all the emotions that go along with reading your word, and you'd put those things to the side, and only your truth would be taught. And Lord, Father, we trust you. We lean on you. Lord, we need you every day, every second. Lord, Father, help us to see you today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You can be seated, children. Kindergarten through sixth grade, headed to Children's Church. So that was about 30 seconds of silence. Doesn't it drive you crazy? Weren't you wondering, like, what's going on? What's gone wrong? Is that kind of what's going in your mind? See, flipped his wig just a little bit. Something's not quite right. Sometimes when we enter into silence, it's that place where we're not sure what's going on. And originally, I was going to do a minute, but I didn't think we could stand it. I didn't know if we could take it. And some of us that like noise and activity, I mean, we want something all the time. Anybody in here, like you read something, and you have music and the television going all at the same time? Yeah, I'm with you, okay? I'm there. And so silence for us sometimes is that place where we kind of feel naked. Like, I was standing up here, and I just felt naked. And silence is a place where things are stripped away, but it's also a time that we start to wonder what's wrong. And Psalm 13 is where we're going to be today. Psalm 13. We're going to be talking about, and we're going to look at when it seems like God is silent in our lives. I don't know about you, but I've had times in my life where I prayed. Come to church, I'd listen to sermons, I'd listen to multiple podcasts. I'm just trying to reach out for God, trying to grab him, and it just seemed like he was just a little bit out of reach. Anybody ever been there? And you'd pray, and it'd feel like the prayers were like lead balloons. Lead balloons don't float, just in case you know it, didn't they? They don't float. And so it's that thing. And so here this psalmist pours out his heart, and listen to what he says. Only six verses. Lord, how long must I wait? Will you forget me forever? How long will you turn your face away from me? How long must I struggle with my thoughts? How long must my heart be sad day after day? How long will my enemies keep winning the battle over me? Lord my God, look at me and answer me. Give me new life or I will die. Then my enemies will say, we have beaten him. They will be filled with joy when I die. But verse 5 takes a little turn. But I trust in your faithful love. My heart is filled with joy because you will save me. I will sing praise to the Lord. He has been so good to me. Anybody here could echo this psalm ever in your life? Just a place where you want to hear and you just don't. Well, just know this. There's going to be times when we feel distant from the Lord. And there could be a lot of reasons for that. And wouldn't you say the psalmist feels really distant from the Lord? Like how long will you turn your face away from me? That's pretty strong. How long will you forget me? And in those times where we feel distant from God, there could be several reasons, but one of those reasons is, and a lot of times it's the main reason, is that we have slowly moved away from him. A lot of times it's not this drastic change in our life where we just reject God, but it's this slow drifting away from our God. And it's just life. Life gets busy. Life gets going, and we just forget. Sometimes we don't spend enough time in prayer. We're not spending the time in Scripture like we should. We're just kind of, you know, a Bible verse a day keeps the devil away kind of thing. Like, we're not diving in. We're not trying to figure out how we can be more like Him. And we just drift. It's not that God moved, it's that we moved. Although we don't think we've moved at all because it's been such a slow drift. We were just talking about kids growing up over the last few years. As you see them every day, they don't look like they grew much, do they? But then somebody that hadn't seen them in 3 months sees them, they go, oh my goodness, how big are they? And they see the sudden spurt, they see the sudden growth. And so for us, that's what can happen in our lives. Like we have this slow drift away from the Lord, and we don't realize how far we've gotten until we can't see shore anymore. You ever been to the beach and just out there? And you know, I used to like to play where the waves would break. I don't like to play where the waves would break now. I just want to be on a tube or something that's float where I'm just out there doing this. Anybody with me? Like the lazy. And if you're not careful, you know, you get further and further and further out. You don't even know it. And life can do that to us. Another reason that this might happen is God is just making us aware of how much we need Him. How much we need Him. Sometimes we forget how much we need Him and we take Him for granted. He's like, I need you to remember how much you need me. In fact, we'll see this a little bit later, but he feels like he's distanced because it's not that he's making himself distant, but that we feel this way so that we'll remember and we will cry out to Him. You ever been to a place that you've just taken Him for granted and then all of a sudden you're in a spot that He seems distant and it's time to cry out? You remember going to the, back in the day, y'all remember TGNY? That was the store. Y'all don't, some of you don't remember TGNY. We had two of them, the little store and the big store, and they were only half a mile from each other. I don't even know why, but we had two. And the first thing you would do when you would walk in the store is what? Hey, can I go to the toys? You remember that? Can I go to the toys? And then you would go, and you would look at all the things that you want to look at, and then it's been a while, and you're like, oh, I need to get back. And so now you're in this little store. I mean, it's a little small thing, but then you can't find your parents. And so now you're dressed, like you're just you panicked, like going from one aisle to the next. You know, it's like they're hiding from you. And parents, y'all may have done that. You know, just you're going from one aisle to the next trying to find you. And then if you get real desperate, Mom, Dad, start screaming. And all of a sudden you remember how much you need their protection, how much you need their love. And so sometimes the Lord is distant, seems distant, feels distant, so that we can remember how much we need Him. There's also times that we will struggle with who we are. Look at this. He says, how long must I struggle with my thoughts? And how long must my heart be sad day after day? It's this place where sometimes we get in the way of our relationship with God. You ever got in the way of your relationship with someone? Like it's all good, but then you just get in the way. And here, we're just getting in the way. Like we're thinking about how bad we are instead of thinking about how good God is. And there's a place for that. There's a place for us to remember that I was a wretch, but God saved me anyway. But on the other end, we should spend more time thinking about how great and how good God is. But there's going to be that time because we are sinful people that we're going to struggle with who we are, and with that struggle, it's going to make it seem like God is distant from us because we're going to have in our mind, how can God love somebody like me? How can God love with somebody with the thoughts that I have? How can a God love me? And we're going to struggle with the thoughts. My thoughts of who I am, who is God, how can God love me? And we're going to struggle, and it's going to seem like God is so far away. We're going to have thoughts like, how could God ever use me? How could God use somebody like me? And we forget that God takes the throwaway things of life, and He turns them to amazing things. And that we learn that really we are loved by God, and that He wants to do something with us no matter how messed up our lives are. That God loves us in spite of who we are, because that's who He is. And so there will be times that we're going to struggle with who we are, but in that struggle, we have to remember that God loves us in spite of who we are, and we start to focus on Him instead of ourselves. Sometimes our relationship with God is all messed up because we think too much of who we are or too much of how bad we are. And we don't think that He's a good enough God to love someone like me. And so it could work with teenagers. Y'all make, you know, you fall into sin, make mistakes, and how could God ever redeem me? And back in the day, man, they used to beat us up big time about this. If you ever do this, if you ever do that, then how could God ever use you? And that's totally against what Scripture would say. Y'all remember the old illustration with the lollipop? Y'all remember the lollipop? Y'all remember that? Yeah? If y'all don't remember that, it's like this. You take a lollipop. All I could think of was those big lollipops. It could be whatever kind of sucker you want, but a lollipop, and you start here with this person. You're like, you can do whatever you want with it. Just pass it around. And you always had some dumb boys that would unwrap it and lick all over it, right? Y'all remember those guys? And because that one leaked, and then the other one was like, I bet you won't. Yeah. And then by the time you get around, you got this big tongue lick all the way across it because the boys are disgusting. The girls are like, eh. You know how that. And at the end, the speaker would stand up and say, now who wants this sucker now? It's been used up. It's been touched on. It's been lit. Who wants it now? And it was supposed to illustrate that we should save ourselves for God. But the truth is God died for the disgusting lollipops. He wants the lollipop. And so when we struggle with that thought of who we are, we have to picture God as bigger than the things that we struggle with in our lives. And then there will be times in that, because He's distant and because we're struggling with who we are, that God seems silent. And this is the time we hate. This is the time that we feel naked and rejected. You know, ladies, y'all try to use this against us. Any women here, you'd use the silent treatment? Husbands, does your wife just volunteer for them? Raise your hand. All right. If you raise your hand, they're probably going to give you the silent treatment on the way home. Ladies, just a hint. Some of us men got it figured out. If you're mad at us, we don't want you talking to us anyway. Give us the silent treatment. That's way better than arguing and fussing. You'll get over it pretty quick, and you start talking to us one day. But and then if you're given a silent treatment, at least we can watch what we want on television without being disturbed. Yeah, I'm just telling you. Some men are like, shut up. But it seems silent. And really, in our heart of hearts, we don't like when people are silent. And when God seems silent, when He seems like He's not speaking, we feel rejected. Like we're not worth His time. We want to hear from you, God, and I just can't hear you. And so, again, it goes back because we've drifted from Him, or He's making Himself seem distant so that we can long for Him, or that we're struggling with who we are. So now He seems distant and silent. Can you imagine if you go back through just the Bible, just look at some of the times there. Did you know when Israel went to Egypt, from the time they were in Egypt until Moses showed up, was 400 years? Talk about silent. Here's a promise. You will have this promised land. This is your land. This is where you will dwell, wherever your feet touches. This is your place. And 400 years, give or take, because you know the first few years are good, but give or take 400 years, you're in slavery and you don't see any way out. Talking about silent. Or again, you have the time between the Old Testament and the time that Jesus is born, the time that we just celebrate, that's another 400 years. 400 years between Old Testament and New Testament. There's Messiah coming. He's going to set you free. 400 years, you don't hear anything. Man. Silence. And in our lives, there's going to be periods of when it seems as if God is silent, but he's still at work doing things. We may not can see, we may not know it, but he's still at work in our lives, and it may be because we're so far from him we can't see, because we've moved away from him, or maybe it's because we are in the way, like we can't see God because we're in the way. It's not that we're that big, but that we put ourselves too close. Sun's huge, isn't it? But I can cover it up with my finger, can't I? Has to do with proximity, doesn't it? And when we're really far from God, we can get in our way really quick. And so here, God seems silent. Like, I want to hear from you. Speak. And in both of these cases, you see God answering their prayers. You see God sends Moses, I've heard the cries of my people. You see here in the New Testament as it's coming to an end, there's a man, he says, I don't want to die until I see the Messiah. And he sees the Messiah. God hears the cries of his people in the middle of the silence. And sometimes that silence amplifies our cry. When things are quiet, when things are still, you will hear every little thing. And it may be, for me, I'd rather spend the 40 years in the wilderness messing up every other day. Picking up manna, at least I know, I see the cloud, I see the pillar of smoke, and I see the pillar of fire at night. I see that, I can see God work, I see God move. I'm in the wilderness, I'm in the wilderness, like in this area. I'd much rather be that than in 400 years of silence. I don't know about you, but that's just me. I hate the silence. I hate it when God doesn't seem to be speaking. And then on top of that, when it's silent and we don't hear anything else and we're focusing on ourselves too much, and then maybe we've moved away from God, or God just trying to make us see our need for him, we start to look around us. And then this is what the psalmist said. He says, what about my enemies? Like, it's not bad enough that you seem distant. It's not bad enough that I'm struggling with who I am, with my thoughts, and that you seem silent. But my enemies are winning. There's going to be times when our enemies win. When they overcome, when they overtake us. Not when the victory, the war, but there's going to be times that they win battles in our lives where the enemy overcomes. I don't know if that's right. Tell that to every martyr. Tell that to Jesus as he goes to the cross, and you're like, well, the enemy didn't win the war. On that day, he won the battle. He didn't win the war, but on that day, he won the battle. How you know that? Jesus said, if there's any other way, let it pass, because this is going to be terrible. And the enemy had his way with our Savior on that day. God won the victory, but on that day, Satan won a battle, and there's going to be times where our enemy wins a battle in our lives. And it's going to suck. What do you mean? Well, think about. And this was read last week during our passage, and so it was fresh on my mind. Jeremiah 29, 10 and 11. And a lot of times we think about Jeremiah 29, 11. Anybody? That's like one of your favorite verses? Anybody? Yeah? Okay, good. I'll read 29, 11 because you'll know it. It says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Now, that's the one we cling to. But let's go up to the verse ahead of that. It says in verse 10, this is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, the plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and not a future. He says, for 70 years, I'm going to let your enemy win. For 70 years, you can't go back. For 70 years, your enemy wins. You know what that means? That means some of the people that day would be dead before they saw the promises of God fulfilled. Sometimes y'all are like, man, I came to church to be excited. We're getting there. Because some of us are in that place now, the enemy's winning. And like, we need to hear that there's a promise of God. And like, we're in that 70 years of exile. 70 years. There's going to be a season in our lives that our enemies win. There's going to be a time that people will come and will seek to destroy you and they will win a battle. But then the 70 years ends. And God fulfills His promises. This is what we have to remember in all these times when He seems distant. When really we're thinking about ourselves, we're blinded, but He seems distant. We're blinded by who we are. We're thinking about His silence and we're thinking about our enemy winning. In that time, this is what we must remember. We must remember that He is faithful. You're like, but this is hard. I came to Christ because somebody told me if I come to Christ, everything's going to be okay. Everything eventually will be okay. Eventually. Everything will be good. Eventually. But that doesn't mean it's going to be good right now. It can be harder now. Like, I know sometimes people are like, if you just give your life to Christ, then your relationship's going to be perfect. That's a lie. We're still in this old flesh. It's going to help, and God can mend the things that are broken better than we could ever mend. But in this, there's still struggle, and the enemy will still win, and there will still be times that God seems silent. There's going to be all these times, but we remember in all those things, God is still faithful. We remember, like, for example, when we think about the 400 years of silence between the Old Testament and the New Testament, and then you think about also in that Rome came in about 63 B.C. and took over, occupied Israel. You're like, man, now the enemy has come. The enemy's come. God is silent. My enemy is winning. But even in that, God is faithful. God let the enemy win so that the gospel could go out. This is what's incredible. You ever heard of the Roman roads? Anybody? All roads lead to Rome, there you go. Y'all remember, all roads lead to Rome. And back in the day, that's the way they all would lead to Rome. And they made these incredible systems to travel on, and they could travel fast. And so God allowed them to come in and take over Israel. Now watch this. When Jesus shows up, and He starts to spread the gospel, and His disciples learn, and they get saved, and the resurrection happens, and He goes, go all into all the world. You know how they went into all the world? On the Roman roads. They were able to travel all over the world quickly and safely because of the Roman roads, because God, in His silence, was still preparing things, working things, because He's faithful even in His silence. He's faithful even when He seems distant. He's always faithful. Our feelings, watch this, okay? Our emotions, our feelings do not determine if God is faithful or not. How I feel has no bearing on who God is. How I feel about Him has no bearing on His being. How I feel can't make Him do anything. How I feel doesn't matter, because really the Scripture tells us that our heart is very deceitful, more deceitful than anything, that our emotions are deceitful, that Satan can twist and cause us to feel certain ways about certain things. It's kind of like if you get a text, man, you can get a text and it's just, good morning, and every text you get, you read aggressively. Good morning, why are they telling me good morning? Can you pick up some milk? I'll pick up milk, whatever. You know, every text, that's the reason you have to put LOL at the end of every one of them, or a smiley face or a laughy face, to let them know I'm not mad. Yeah, because our emotions lie, and it changes and it twists and If you've ever been married, you've been mad about something that you shouldn't have been mad about. Our hearts, our emotions are deceitful. And the way we feel doesn't dictate who God is. And so in those times where we feel like God isn't at work, where God has abandoned us, where we feel rejected, we must remember that He is faithful and that He loves us. In those times, we must remember we will be saved, because as the psalmist said, I will remember that you were faithful, or your faithful love. I will remember how you will save us. Jeremiah 29, verses 12 through 14 goes on to say, at the end of the 70 years, then you will call on me and come and pray to me. And listen to this. And I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me. When you seek me with all of your heart, I will be found by you, declares the Lord. And I will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and the places where I have banished you, declares the Lord. And I will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile. The enemy may win, and God may seem silent and distant, but there will be a time when we cry out to Him in that silence. And when we do, it says here, when you cry out to me and pray to me, I will hear you. I will listen to you. And as we cry out to Him, we remember the time, or in those times, we must remember that He has been good. You remember that old song, Count Your Blessings? Name them one by one. I always thought that was weird. And then name them one by one. But really, that's what we do in the times where God seems silent. We have to remember, not only is He faithful, but that He's always been good. And we go back and we remember His goodness. That's what the Scripture is all about. The Scripture goes back and tells us how He's been faithful, how He was faithful to Adam and Eve and to Abraham and to Moses. And He was faithful to all of Israel, and He was faithful to Matthew, Mark, and He was faithful to the lady at the well, and the prodigal son, and Lazarus. And we see over and over how He was faithful, how He's been good. But now we take that further, and we look at our lives, and we say, "How has He been good? Let me name them one by one." And then all of a sudden, when we feel rejected, we feel accepted. We cry out to Him as a God that is good to us. And we remember how good He is, and remember how faithful He is. And if we have to move to be close to Him, I love it. As we draw near to Him, He draws near to us. Look, when we leave, He doesn't force us to love Him. As we leave, as we wander, you know, He's there. He doesn't move. He's faithful. He doesn't go anywhere. And we move away, but then when we make a step towards Him, then He comes to us. He shortens the distance. It's not as far to get back to Him as it was when we left from Him. And so here we remember how good He is. And in these times, and some of y'all may be there right now, in these times where God seems silent, quiet, distant, where we seem like our sins are too big, too large, in those times, we still praise Him. This is a hard one. We come and praise isn't just music. Praise is how we treat other people. It's how we treat the Word of God. It's how we pray. Praise can even be as we tithe. Whatever it is that we're doing that God's called us to as we live our lives. But we think around praise as this time of singing. Sometimes you come and you just wonder, how can I sing today? How can I sing today? the one that I don't know if I can make it through without crying on this one. Men can cry sometimes, they just don't always cry, right? As Alyssa was pregnant with our third child, several months into the pregnancy, one night we're just at home, it's a Saturday. A lot of you have heard this story, and it's just one of those stories that God just used in my life to teach me this, to praise Him in the silence. And so we're there, and we're just having a good night. It's just fun. And she's sitting in an old, I can remember the recliner, old purple recliner somebody had given us. Had little green lines in it. And she just started bleeding pretty bad. And we go to the emergency room, and we're there. And the doctor comes in, and they do the ultrasound, and they come back. Like there's no heartbeat. We're going to do another test, because, you know, sometimes we make mistakes. So they do another, very thorough, and they say, and he comes in, he's kind of, you know, it's okay, medical, sometimes you just have to give you the facts, and just came out and just gave us the facts. There's not a heartbeat. I made you an appointment on Monday, and they're going to take the baby on Monday. So Saturday night, I get home at, I don't know, we get home late. And you're crying out to the Lord. And you feel silence. So I get up early and I go to church because that's what I did. Alyssa stayed home that day and I went and you know, you feel all the questions. Where's Alyssa? She's, and you know, we're just, she's not feeling good. And, oh, okay, and, you know. And then it was time to sing. And how do you praise God when you feel so distant? When He seems so silent? And of course, you start to put yourself in the way, like, what did I do? Why did this happen? And then God just says, He says, on Saturday morning when you woke up and everything was good, I was God and I was good. And today is Sunday and I'm still God and I'm still good. And in this moment where He seems silent, you cry out to the Lord. And in that moment, God just allowed me to worship Him in a raw, real, naked, just bone to the core. What is our relationship? And as we sing, God says, no matter what happens, you just know I love that kid more than you do. Now, the end of the story, God, you say what you want. I don't know. Here's what I can tell you. There was no heartbeat on Saturday night. When we get there Monday morning, I said, we have to do an ultrasound just to make sure. And they do, and there's a heartbeat. I can't tell you one way or another, but God does miracles. And all I can tell you is there was no heartbeat, and then there is one. Does He always do that? I can't tell you that He always does, because sometimes it's hard and sometimes life gets difficult and sometimes at the end of the day there's still no heartbeat. But God's still good. He's still good. And so when we look at this in this Psalm 13, have you ever been at that place where you hear, Lord, how long will you continue to forget me? How long will you hide your face from me? How long will I store up anxious concerns within me? agony in my mind every day. How long will my enemy dominate me? Consider me and answer me, Lord my God. Restore brightness to my eyes. Otherwise, I will sleep in death. My enemy will say, I have triumphed over him. And my foes will rejoice because I am shaken. But I've trusted in your faithful love. Your heart will rejoice in your deliverance. I will sing to the Lord because he has treated me generously. I don't know where you are in your life or what's going on, but I know some of you are in a dark spot and it seems like God is silent. And in your silence, in his silence, this is what I would say. Cry out to your God. Cry out to him with all of your heart. Lay it out there raw. Let him know how you feel. But like the children of Israel while they're in Egypt. God, we're tired of these chains. We're ready to live in your promise. Be like here in Jeremiah, Israel, as they're exiled, as they cry out, he says, in 70 years, you're going to cry out to me. In 70 years, that's what it's going to take. And then all of a sudden, you're going to realize your need for me in that moment. Cry out to me, and when you cry out, I will listen. You know, this is a parent, and I'm done, but as a parent, sometimes you know your kids are going through something. But you know they're just not ready to talk about it. You see them struggle. And you watch them. And your heart breaks for them. But there's nothing you can do because they don't want to hear you right now. So you watch. And you're there and you wait. And then finally they come to you that day. And they lay out what's going on in their life. No matter what you're doing, you don't say, hold on, wait a minute, let me finish this show. Hold on, wait a minute, let me finish my meal. No matter what you're doing, you're like, I've been waiting for you to come to me. I've been waiting for you to come and tell me what's going on. I want to show you that I love you. I want to console you. I want to love you. And our Lord, in the middle of where you are, in the middle of whatever trouble you're experiencing, God says, I want you to come to me. I want to love you. I want to hear the problems. I want to hear your concerns. I want to hear how you feel like the enemy is too big and how the situation can't ever be settled. I want to hear all your troubles. I don't know if you ever get too old. I don't think. It's just a picture for me. Any of my kids, no matter how big they are, and some of them way bigger than me, want to crawl up into my lap one day and just cry on my shoulder and tell me what's going on in their life. They can. Some of you hadn't crawled up into your father's lap in such a long time. That's the reason you feel so distant, because you hadn't talked. Not that you're mad at him. You're just giving him the silent treatment. And for there to be a relationship, he just wants to hear from you. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to open up the altar. And some of you just need to come and just fall at the feet of our God. More than that, crawl into the lap of our Father. Like, that's so weird. I don't know. See, Lazarus sitting in Abraham's bosom, his place of comfort. You've been in a place of silence. It's now time to enter into a place of comfort, restoration, and just unload. Don't store up all that guilt and that shame. Jesus paid the price for those things. He's like, those are mine. I paid for that. Why are you worried about a bill that I paid for? Just give it to him. whatever it is the Lord would do in your life, I would ask that you would just respond to Him. Church, would you stand? Lord, I just pray. I pray for our people here, Lord. There's some of us you've seen so distant. Not that you are, that you're the Father waiting on the porch, looking to the distance for us to return. You're just waiting for us. Lord, for some of us, you seem so silent. Like we want to hear from you. Lord, today, some people today, for the first time in a long time, hearing from you. Lord, let them hear that you love them. Lord, I pray that none of us in our pride would allow our stubborn heart, our stiff neck, our pride to stand in the way of us coming to you. Lord, let us just be spiritually naked before you. Church, you respond as the Spirit leads. Those who've made that commitment, continue to pray for us. God is at work. God's moving.